And now, the rest of the story. From his earliest childhood, all Johnny ever thought about was women. He learned quickly. By the age of 13, he was offering sex instruction to the neighbor boys. And for purposes of demonstration, he was using the neighbor girls. Sometimes the girls were willing. As the years went by, sex became entangled with more complex emotions for Johnny. When the family moved to Mooresville, Indiana, the boy started attending a local church. The girls there were beautiful, he thought, particularly one girl named Mary. And one day he took her and her church friends for a wild ride in his father's car, and Mary never spoke to Johnny again. Even though night after night and for months thereafter, he would stand outside Mary's window singing love songs to her. I'm going to run that by again because I want you to remember it. Night after night and for months thereafter, he stood outside Mary's window singing love songs. By his love... If he went too long without sex, Johnny once explained to a friend, it felt as though an iron band around his head was squeezing his brains out. That's a quote. There were a few Marys along the way, women with whom he sought something more than a physical relationship. His uncle's stepdaughter, Frances, for example. Johnny even asked Frances to marry him, but his uncle refused permission. And the rejection seemed only to intensify Johnny's frustration. By the age of 20, he had produced an undetermined number of offspring, was spending most of his time with prostitutes, had contracted gonorrhea, had become so dissipated that he could not work. Occasionally, he would visit a church if he thought there was a chance of seducing the pastor's daughter. Otherwise, Johnny was content to roam the streets of Indianapolis. There were wives, at least one legal one that we know of, who divorced Johnny before his 26th birthday. Yet there was no relationship which prevented him from seeking other relationships. If everything you've just heard makes Johnny seem callous, you've heard right. And yet, and strangely, he was capable of astonishing tenderness. Love letters which survive him make Johnny sound almost pathetically lovesick and utterly emotionally dependent upon the addressee. Johnny was more than a sex maniac, you see. He had a genuine weakness for women, ultimately a deadly weakness. Ultimately a deadly weakness. Friends later remarked that you could never put one over on Johnny unless you were an attractive female. That's just how it happened. One steamy July night in 1934, when a couple of women escorted Johnny to the movies, one of whom was dressed in an eye-catching bright orange skirt, and she was an informer for the FBI. Leaving the theater that night, lover boy Johnny was gunned down by the feds, and thus ended the criminal saga of public enemy number one. Yet if anyone tries to tell you that his luck just ran out, you'll know better. You will recall that Johnny had a fatal flaw. And eventually it was the undoing of the desperado named John Dillinger. And now you know the rest of the story.